The psalm response yesterday was, "Exalt you just in the Lord, sing to him a new song." So yesterday we reflected a little bit, maybe I rambled a little bit, about the new song, the meaning of the new song, which is a common expression in Scripture. When God does something new, when God breaks in and manifests his greatness, his power, his mercy, the normal response is to sing a new song. One of the earliest examples of the new song is the song of Moses. Remember when the Israelites were led through the Red Sea, and then the sea covered the chariots of Pharaoh's army. After they saw this extraordinary miracle of salvation, they sang a song. "I will sing unto the Lord, for he is gloriously triumphant. Horse and chariot he has cast into the sea." That was the new song. In today's first reading, we notice Hannah, who had prayed for a child. She received the gift she prayed for. She brings the child to the temple, and then she sings a new song. And that's what we take as today's song. "My heart exalts in the Lord. My horn is exalted in my God." Hannah sings the greatness of the Lord. It's another new song. In fact, the Scriptures are full of songs. The whole book of Psalms, 150 songs, just to name a few examples. Okay, so Song of Moses, Song of Hannah, the Psalms, and then we have today's Gospel, one of the greatest of all the songs, Canticle of Mary, the Magnificat. This song is both the Canticle of Mary herself and the Canticle of the Church. The Church sings this song every day in the Liturgy of the Hours at evening prayer. It's also the song of the poor, song of the unaware, because it's the classic example of what the poor sing when they rejoice in the Lord. The poor don't focus on themselves because they're poor. They don't have anything, any claim to greatness. But they do have something great to sing about. That's the Lord. That's what Mary sings about. Now, as all of you know who are ponderers of the Word, it's not always easy to pick up a scripture and figure out what it's all about. So it's always good to search out some meditations or some commentaries. In fact, that's the whole purpose of this book, is to help people ponder the Word, and the meditations are supposed to help us ponder. And anyone who preaches makes use of Scripture commentaries and meditations. I was quite struck by some of the resources I looked at today. I'll just share with you these two. This one is from a modern Scripture scholar, a Filipino, a very good Scripture scholar. This is what he says about the Magnificat. "Most Bible scholars today hold that the Magnificat, Mary's canticle, was not done by Mary. It was clearly composed in Greek and not a translation from Hebrew. It is unlikely that such finished poetry could have been composed on the spot by an ordinary Galilean girl. So the canticle is held to have been written by the evangelist Luke to accompany his narratives. But there are lines in the canticle that are awkward when applied to the situation of Mary, who is the speaker. So scholars theorize that the canticle was not a pure Lucan composition. He probably got it from the Jewish Christian Anoim, the poor ones who relied on the Lord for their salvation. These recognized that in Jesus, God has raised them up and saved them according to his promise. Luke sees Mary as their representative of the Anoim. and spokesperson. And so lets her vocalize their sentiments, retouching the original song to suit Mary's condition. Typical of Bible scholars, he's a good Bible scholar, but he looks at the Greek, he looks at the Hebrew, he looks at the roots, he comes up with some kind of reasonable scholarly analysis. Nothing wrong with it, but not that inspiring either, other than it mentions the Anuim, so it catches our eye. In contrast to that style, let me share the opening paragraph of this commentary by St. Bede, the Venerable Bede. This is from today's Office of Readings. Now, maybe it's not fair to compare a modern Bible scholar with a saint of the church, but still, the contrast, I think, is helpful for us as we ponder the word. It is important to study the word, like this Bible scholar, but listen to Bede here. Mary said, "My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior." So that's the verse he's going to ponder. This is St. Bede now. "The Lord has exalted me by a gift so great, so unheard of, that language is useless to describe it, and the depths of love in my heart can scarcely grasp it. I offer then all the powers of my soul in praise and thanksgiving. As I contemplate his greatness, which knows no limits, I joyfully surrender my whole life, my senses, my judgment. For my spirit rejoices in the eternal Godhead of that Jesus, that Savior whom I have conceived in this world of time." Isn't that beautiful? See, this is pondering, this pondering word. And Father Francis, when he used to look up commentaries and passages, he really loved the fathers of the church, because the fathers of the church are not so caught up in the academic details or, you know, finished poetry of the Greeks or whatever. They're reflecting on what God is saying. And here, St. Bede picks up on Mary saying, "My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices." And Bede says, this isn't just words. This is the effort of someone to put into words something that you can't express. So he says, this is such an unheard of, such an exalted gift that I summon all the powers of my soul in praise and thanksgiving. My whole life, my senses, my whole being, my judgment, everything poured out in praise of God. I think that's a good description of what Mary does, not only at this moment of the visitation, but all the time. Certainly Mary was rejoicing in the Lord for the 3 months that she was in the hill country with Elizabeth, and she and Elizabeth together praised the Lord. Let's look a little bit at this canticle. It starts out, as we know, with Mary proclaiming the greatness of the Lord, or her soul proclaiming the greatness of the Lord. The old translation is, "My soul magnifies the Lord." My soul, that's where we get Magnificat, the Latin term Magnificat. It can be translated magnify, but it really means to proclaim, to make known, to put on display, like a magnifying glass does. It makes it easier to see it also. Mary's soul wants to make available to everybody what she's experienced, that is the greatness of the Lord. "My spirit rejoices in God my Savior." Now, I mentioned this yesterday, talk about Greek scholars. The Greek scholars say this word rejoices isn't just rejoices, it's overflowing exuberance. It's tremendous exaltation. It's not just she's happy that she's pregnant. She can't contain the joy at what God has done and what God is doing. So that's what she means by saying, my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has looked upon his lowly servant. She identifies the greatness of God. By comparison, who is she? Lowly servant. Sometimes lowly handmaid. Sometimes it's translated as slave. She's nothing. But God has given her everything, so she has reason to rejoice. That's the joy of the poor, of the Anuin, the lowly ones. From this day, all generations will call me blessed. Now, this is a line sometimes people look at and say, well, that sounds pretty boastful. You're thinking everybody's going to call you blessed until the end of time. Who do you think you are? Well, remember, Elizabeth has just said to her, blessed are you among women. Blessed is the fruit of your womb. Blessed are you who believed that the word of the Lord would be fulfilled. So Elizabeth has just proclaimed this, that you're blessed. And Mary is acknowledging not something about her greatness, but about the blessing she has received. This is the way genuine testimony is supposed to work. You know, when people stand up and talk about what the Lord has done in their life, it's not about the witness himself or herself. It's about what God has done for him or for her. So, and then you say, well, why will all generations call Mary blessed? Because she's so great? No, because God has done such great things for her. And then as soon as she finishes that line about all generations calling her blessed, because the Almighty has done great things for me and holy is his name, then she never mentions herself again. The canticle continues, and there's no more mention of me, I, what God has done for me. No, she's starting with the great things that she's experienced, nothing greater than being the recipient of the Word made flesh. Then she launches into an expression of the ways of God, how God works. He has mercy on those who fear him. He's shown the strength of his arm. He scatters the proud. He casts down the mighty. He lifts up the lowly. He fills the hungry. He sends the rich away empty. You see, this is not just about Mary. This is about God and how he works. It's praise of God for his way of humbling the mighty and exalting the lowly, which is something that we should all be praising God for if we are lowly. See, the lowly love to sing about this because they experience being blessed, being exalted. The proud are the ones who don't like this kind of song because they don't like to be humbled. So if you find yourself complaining or in any way dissatisfied, maybe God is humbling you, because that's what he does to us all when we're high and mighty. He humbles the proud. This is what Mary rejoices in this, because it's a blessing even to the proud. It's good for them. It's good for us to be humble. Then after she, in the middle part of the canticle, she's putting on display the ways of the Lord. Then at the end, she focuses on the Lord's faithfulness to his promises. This is part of the new song, the new song that we all are singing, that God is faithful to his promises. That's at the end here. He has remembered his promise of mercy, the promise he made to our fathers, to Abraham and his children forever. So a promise he made long ago and was renewed by the prophets, he has not forgotten. He is fulfilling it right now. For sure, this is not the last time Mary sang the praises of the Lord. Not the last time Elizabeth sang the praises of the Lord. This sort of song, this sort of new song, was overflowing from Mary's heart all the time. And it's a lesson to us who are the poor, a lesson to all who are called to or whom God has identified as his Anoim people, this is a hymn for us. We muster up all the powers of our soul and pour them out in praise of God's greatness, because he has looked upon us, his lowly ones, and he has favored us.